HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are talking to Prince George's County State's Attorney Angela Alsobrooks. She just announced this week that she is running for the county executive seat. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. I want to back up a little bit and talk a little bit more about Prince George's County and remind our listeners that are listening locally, or even those that are listening outside the area, of exactly where we are. This is the wealthiest predominantly black municipality in America. Number one, we know that.
Yes.
And there is there's a lot of money here. There's a lot of great economic potential here. But also it has one of the most challenged school systems in the state. It has the highest rate of deadly domestic violence. You are very, very aware of that. We know that you've been active in that. And just today, AAA called Indian Head Highway the deadliest stretch of road in the state. Lots of work to deal with. Let me start with Indian Head Highway. What, if anything, can be done about that?
Well, you know, there is something that has been underway. Some of the, part of the agreement with the new MGM and the other construction was to have a certain amount of dollars dedicated to continuing to improve that road, the stretch of road on 210. So there's a dedicated fund of money for that, which I think will be very helpful in trying to expand the lanes to relieve some of the congestion there. But we also have to continue to educate the public about the ways that they can assist in keeping themselves safe on the road. And some of that has to do with speed. Some of it has to do also with ensuring that we are sending messages regarding alcohol and other things. But I think for our part, part of what we can do to keep that road safe is to continue the improvements and to invest in the improvements that are obviously needed. That is a very congested roadway. And it, you're right, and it has been also a deadly roadway.
About crime and public safety in Prince George's County, again, as the county's top prosecutor, you have an intimate relationship with the some of the difficulties of crime and public safety here. How would you rate the police chief, Hank Stawinski?
Excellent. Okay. Absolutely excellent. I say not only the chief, but quite frankly, that entire department is just excellent. And I say that, I give you some specifics. We have an 80% closure rate for homicides. That's absolutely unheard of in any jurisdiction the size of ours. But they are very good at responding to crime and investigating crimes. I think the state's attorney's office has done an excellent job in prosecuting those crimes. They are proactive. They are a part of the community. And I think they really have done a really fantastic job.
Are you concerned more broadly about, for example, some of the things that we're hearing out of Baltimore, the body cam situations? Just today, a second video out about police allegedly planting evidence, and your counterpart in Baltimore having to throw out some 34 cases as a result of that. Have you had conversations, even generally, with Chief Stawinski about these kinds of issues?
Well, you know what? The thing we've done is we have responded to them when the chief has brought cases to me. So we have prosecuted a good number of cases involving misconduct. And almost in every one of those cases were brought to me by the police department. And they said, here, this is a case we want you to look at and investigate and tell us what you think. And so that's the kind of relationship we have had, is one where I think we both value transparency and accountability. And so those cases have been brought to us. We've prosecuted them. The chief has come down when we announce indictments and has come down no matter the result to announce the result.
Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Sheila, calling from Suitland. Thanks for calling, Sheila. What's on your mind?
Hi. First of all, congratulations.
Thank you.
My question to you is, we're dealing with a lot of dishonesty when people who hold positions saying what they're going to do and they do something totally contrary. What makes you any different?
I thank you, Sheila, for that question. I think it's a fair one. The one thing I say is I promised a number of things in 2010. And part of what I am really proud of is, you know, I don't know that anyone can deliver every single thing they promise. They work really hard. But in my case, I think if you are able to look back at the things that I promised as state's attorney, I promise you I have worked every day to make sure that I honored the trust of the people who sent me, and I have really delivered on the promises that I made. And so it's not just talk. I think we do have an obligation to let the public know what our vision is, exactly what they can expect from us, and then we must deliver. And we have to hold people accountable. So I don't blame you for feeling this way. When someone tells you that they are going to do a job, they should do it effectively, and you should be able to see the results of what they have done. I believe that we've done that, especially in the work we've done in the state's attorney's office.
Sheila, thank you so much. I want to talk about something specific related to the schools. You're a mother, and the Prince George's County school system has been embroiled in this sex abuse scandal. And now even Charles County, the neighboring school system, also embroiled in a similar scandal. As a county executive, what would be your position in trying to make sure that our children, you know, are protected from these kinds of horrific events?
I think you're right to unfortunately point out that Prince George's County is not alone in terms of seeing these horrific sorts of fact patterns. It is here. It's been in Charles County. It's been in Montgomery County. One of the things that I think we can continue to do is to make sure that we are educated. Those of us who interact with children, I think in the schools, they have an obligation to continue to train, to make sure that the folks who interface with children are trained to recognize the signs of child sexual assault and abuse, and that they know how to respond to it. I think we also have an obligation to begin to arm our children, to say to children, if someone is hurting you or hurting a family member, there is a trusted individual in this school that you can go to and give that information to. I think that is especially important, not to leave our children unarmed, but to say to them, we're not asking a child to intervene at home, but to certainly say, we would like to have you go to the guidance suite. There's a trusted person there who can receive that information. And then, of course, we have to hold people accountable. When we discover that inappropriate things have happened, we have to act aggressively. But the biggest thing is preventing it from happening in the first place. And I think that comes through education.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Keisha from Fort Washington. Thanks for calling. Keisha, what's on your mind? Keisha, are you there? Give me.
Yes, hello.
Okay,
hello?
Please go right ahead.
I was calling to ask if she has any children that attended any Prince George's County schools, or does she participate in any community activities? I've never seen her around in any community activities, so I'm just wondering, what is she actually going to actually do for the county if a lot of people are not seeing her interact with the community?
Hi, Keisha. Thanks for calling. You know what? I actually, I have to tell you, that I have been very active in the schools for the last 20 years. I was hired in 1997 as an assistant state's attorney. And at that time, we were required to adopt a school and to visit that school and to contribute to the school. And I've done that for the last 20 years from being there for career day. I've been involved in Girls Empowered to Meet Success at the schools. I've been involved with the Lovely Ladies of Laurel, which is a group of young women at Laurel High School. I have been there. We had a program, a Law and You program, that I instituted in the schools to talk about the law and how young people can interface with it. I have a teen court program currently that works in the school and has been there for 7 years now, where we meet each month, twice a month, and route kids away from the juvenile justice system. So I have been extremely active in our school systems. I am deeply concerned and engaged in it, and I will continue to be.
Keisha, thank you so much. Let's go to Tyrone, calling from Landover. Tyrone, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, sir. Well, actually, I'm an employee of PG County.
Mm-hmm.
I just started, and, you know, the pay scale, I understand that, you know, they haven't had a raise in 10 years. And it's the cost of living have risen so far. What would you do to balance out the cost of what we are getting paid to, in order to feed our families and take care of our families? We're the guys who take care of the snow, we make PG County beautiful around here. We cut the grass, keep the grass cut. We do everything for safety around here. When trees are falling, we pick them up, cut them up, what do you do to make sure that these people can live a nice life? I can't even afford an apartment in the county where
Tyrone, let me allow her to try to address your question.
Thank you.
Tyrone, thank you for calling and welcome to Prince George's County. I know you said you're new to the government. One thing I should make you aware of is that we actually have just had a cost of living adjustment in the government. And so everyone did receive that cost of living adjustment, and you can expect to have those, continue to have those on a regular basis. I agree with you that wage growth is important and that we ought to pay salaries that allow people to fully support their families. And I'll continue to push to make sure that we are paying a wage where people can afford to take care of their families and be home in the evenings to do homework. But wage growth is important, and I'll continue to push to make sure that it happens.
Tyrone, thank you so much for your phone call. I do want to talk about something that he brought up on another level. Prince George's County has one of the, if not the highest, property tax in the state. It is expensive to buy a home here. The county executive, Rushurn Baker, attempted but failed to raise the property tax, to put more money into schools. What can be done about the property tax, if not lower it, to keep it stable so that beginners or even people with some means can afford to live here?
So, you know what? I want to address it in two ways. The first way is to say that the property values in Prince George's County have increased, and it actually experienced the largest increase in property values in the state last year. We had a 15-point increase. I think that the property taxes are a separate issue. That issue, the schools and the property tax issue are connected. As our schools improve, then we see that the property taxes decrease. What we have to do is not to increase property taxes. I think the citizens have spoken loudly and clearly about that, is that they are really fatigued of having the government pay for needed services on the backs of citizens. The answer is we have to both increase the commercial tax base. That commercial tax base will allow us the revenues to invest in our schools. As we invest in the schools, and the complete answer is not money. It's not just a money answer, but the truth is that as the schools improve, so will everything else. It means that the investment by businesses will increase. And as those investments increase and we have commercial taxes to invest in, to invest back into the schools, we'll see that the schools will improve as well. And we can see a tax burden go down.
But is throwing money at the schools the answer? Isn't improving the schools just beyond the finances?
Absolutely. You know what? I couldn't agree with you more. That the answer is not money. That is not the complete answer to it. And that is part of the equation. But the hard work of improving schools means that we have to all invest in it. It means that we have to first look at the money that we are currently spending and ask ourselves whether it is being used in the best and highest use. I think we have to do that, review the programs that we have, and to find out what are they effective, to really look at that programming. I think the other part of it is we have to really hone in on the concept that educating a whole child means that it takes a family to do that. It takes a community to do that. In other words, intelligence is not a fixed entity. In other words, intelligence can improve, but there are social and emotional factors that that affect that. So the child inside the school building and outside of the school building has to be well supported. The Department of Social Services, for example, that means putting social workers in the schools to address some of the social and emotional issues that students are having. It means making sure the kids who come to school are well nourished, that they are well rested. Those are some of the things that impact student achievement, and those have nothing whatsoever to do with money.
I need to take a break. When we come back, more of your phone calls. Yvonne in Upper Marlboro, Charles in Capitol Heights, and also we'll talk to Tyrone. He's got a follow-up question. Hopefully we'll have a chance to get to that, but I also have many more. We are talking to Prince George's County State's Attorney Angela Alsobrooks. She is running for county executive. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our conversation with Prince George's County State's Attorney Angela Alsobrooks. She's running for county executive. I also want to talk to you about economic development. Here's the thing. Prince George's County Executive Rashearn Baker and those who were in that office before him have been talking about economic development. Here's the brass tacks. You can talk about jobs and MGM and all of that. But black folks want to have a nice place to shop. They don't want to keep going over the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
How do you bring high-end retail to Prince George's County? It just seems to be something that has been escaping politicians for years.
Well, you know what? I have to say this. I must give credit to all of the people who have worked so hard in the county to solve this particular issue. This administration, previous administrations, we've seen some progress. We are not where we want to be, but we sure didn't have a Whole Foods. Just a few years ago, there was no Harris Teeter anywhere in sight. And so we are moving. I think the county is growing in leaps and bounds in terms of development. We have $6 to $8 billion worth of development coming in the next 4 to 6 years. This is significant. It is. It is. I think it is something that that we ought to be proud of. And so do we. Should we have more? Absolutely. As a person who has lived there forever, I share that concern. But I believe that we now have in place everything we need to be able to attract those businesses, and we'll continue to work hard to make sure that we have the right environment. In other words, making sure that we have safe communities, make sure that we make the right investments in education. These are the things that attract businesses, and we have to continue to do that. But I must say that we have had some progress over the last few years, although we still have much more to do.
Let me talk to Yvonne. You've been waiting patiently. Yvonne, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Oh, no problem. Thank you. And number one, congratulations for throwing your hat in that ring.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. I think you should clone yourself, because I don't know what they're going to do when you leave as state attorney, but you've decided that you can, you have so much to give and do as county exec. I would like to know, how do we become part of your team? They help you at that.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much. That's the best news of the evening. So I have a website at AngelaAlsoBrooks.com.
Okay.
And I would absolutely love to have you on our team and to work with us. If you would do me a favor and go on that site and leave us your email address, we will certainly follow up with you and would love to have you help us to move our vision forward.
I'm there for you.
Right. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Yvonne. Charles, calling from Capitol Heights. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
First, I want to congratulate the state's attorney on her deed and her run. And I want to talk about returning citizens. I know that I've heard, you know, lots of people talking about being smart on crime and smart on reentry. My question, first of all, is, do you know the recidivism rate for Prince George's County? And what's your vision? And what do you see for Prince Georgians that are returning from incarceration that are looking for opportunities and looking for a hand up? And how do we connect them to the services that they so desperately need?
Thank you, Charles, so much for calling and for caring about this issue. It's one that I care greatly about as well. We've had, for example, the Back on Track program you've probably heard about, where we work with first-time nonviolent drug dealers. But I think we need to do much more to make sure that we are providing workforce development that addresses the needs of individuals who are returning citizens. There are so many opportunities that still remain in areas including the building trades and culinary, and there are lots of other opportunities there. But it will take a concerted effort. One of the things that I would love to see is an office for returning citizens similar to the one that exists in the District of Columbia, where we actually have a repository where people can come and get information and get classes and training and help and being able to gain the skills that are necessary to compete in the workforce. And so I think it takes an intentional effort. And I can tell you that I fully intend to make sure that we are working in this area to assist as many people as possible in getting back on track and being able to provide for their families.
Charles, thank you so much for your phone call. School board is both elected and appointed. Is that a good or a bad thing in your opinion?
Well, I have to tell you the truth, Harold. I have seen both. Mm-hmm. I have seen elected, I have seen appointed, and the truth is, at least to this point, it hasn't affected academic achievement since I have been in the county. And so I don't know that the governance in and of itself impacts academic achievement. I think that what we have to focus on, the two most important adults in the school system are parents and teachers. I think we start there. I think that we have to have a fair system set up of governance. But beyond that, I am not sure that focusing on school governance will necessarily give us the complete solution that we desired. So when you say elected and appointed, I don't know to this point that either has moved us any forward. We haven't moved forward, in other words, under either system. Mm-hmm. And so it's hard to say whether one is better than the other or not.
What about CEO Dr. Kevin Maxwell? Your opinion about how he's doing? Would you keep him if you were elected?
You know what? I think that all of those decisions will have to be made in the future. We'll make an assessment. And the thing that I can tell you is that I will make a decision that I think is in the best interest of the school system. It is very clear that too many families, at least for now, do not have trust in our school system. I think we have to do whatever is necessary to re-earn that trust and to encourage people to entrust their children to us. I think that, you know, there are so many people who are working really hard at this right now, but I think we have to look at it and make a decision going forward.
What is the thing that bothers you the most about what's happening in Prince George's County? What is the thing, if I may use a cliche, that keeps you up at night?
That's a great question. You know, the schools, I think the schools bother me that too many families, they work hard, they pay their taxes, they buy these homes that are expensive homes and then feel like they also have to pay for private schools, too many of them. I think that's a problem. I really do. I think it's unfair. And it's something that ought to be addressed. I don't like the fact that we don't have appropriate athletic programs or enough of them in the county for our children, that my daughter played for Prince George's Pride lacrosse team and we had to go to Potomac to play on a field because we didn't have an adequate field for our children to compete in lacrosse. That sends the wrong message. When I had to drive my daughter out of the county to go play on somebody else's field, I think it sent a message that that I was uncomfortable with. But one of the other areas that I really would like to see us work on is how we perceive ourselves. I think this is really an issue to be addressed. It is not just how we are perceived by others, but really the pride that we should have in Prince George's. I think we have every right to feel proud of where we live. We have a great many assets there. We have wonderful people, as you have noted. This is a community that is well-educated and has done especially well. And so just sometimes how I hear us talk about ourselves bothers me. I think we have a lot to be proud of. We have our challenges like everybody else. But the idea that somehow we are far worse off than other communities is one that that troubles me. And I would love to see us feel good about ourselves again.
If you were elected, And I say that if you're elected and you begin to look at the salaries of let us say senior and even mid-level staff, as you know, Monday was Black Women's Equal Pay Day. Would you make those changes without being prompted if you saw inequities? If Susan, in a mid-level management position, was making $20,000 less than Steve, and they are both doing the same kind of mid-level job, or would you just kind of let it sit, or would you have to allow the finances of the county to dictate whether or not you could or could not do anything about that?
I think everything is based on merit. I think individuals who perform the same job and perform it at the same level ought to be paid the same salary. Mm-hmm. I think fairness matters, and I don't see any reason why we would not ensure that that pay equity is a part of what we do. It is extremely important, and it is something that I am sensitive to. So I think people who are equally qualified, doing the same work and at the same level, ought to be paid a fair rate. And that rate ought to be an equal rate.
I only have about a minute left or so. If you don't win, what are you going to do?
Continue to serve. You know, I am a person of faith, And I believe that God sets out long before you arrive what it is he intends for you. I go down this road. I wake up every day and do the best I can. And I really do have a strong faith that God is going to place me just where he needs me. And so I am, you know, happy to go out and ask for another opportunity to continue to serve. But if for some reason this is not in God's plan, I am completely comfortable that he will place me where I will be well used.
And my final question, what is it about you that people do not know that you believe they should know?
Oh, my goodness. What they don't know about me.
I mean, are you an ex-smoker?
You know what they ought to know is that I do the best dramatic impression that you can ever imagine. I can. my staff will tell you I can come back and, oh my gosh, I can reenact almost anything.
Such as?
Yaman. You know, I can, what's going on? You know, I have just multiple talents in terms of acting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I can reenact, I can dance.
I saw that on Monday when you came down. Yeah, when you announced. I you've got rhythm.
But I do a terrific impersonation. Okay. I really do. And I think I'm fairly, the staff will call back and tell you not so true, but I think I'm fairly comical.
Okay, well, I hope that you do not impersonate me.
No, of course not.
Because I have the microphone here. So good luck to you, Angela Brooks, with whatever it is that you're going to do. And thanks for coming in. And I hope this isn't the last time we see you for a while.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me tonight. And thank you to all your listeners.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Wednesday, August 2nd. I'm Harold Fisher. You can follow me on Twitter at HFisherWHUR or Daily Drum WHUR. Now stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, glasshouseradio.com.